Luke chapter 19, and beginning with verse 1, hear now the word of the Lord. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Poor Zacchaeus. Wherever this story is told throughout the world today, the thing that's remembered most about him is that he is short. A wee little man, right? That's what everybody remembers. But that's just one bit of detail that we remember about him. Unless you consider Zacchaeus short or wee in moral stature or in his heart, he might be that too. The greatest thing about wee little Zacchaeus is that he desired to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. The story says the word "see" quite a bit. In fact, that's a key word in our story today, to see. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He climbed a tree to see Jesus, but Jesus sees him, and then the crowd sees and mutters. And then Zacchaeus says, "Look, Lord," whatever's going on here, there's a whole lot of stalking going on, or looking. Earlier in the Gospel of Luke, it says that Jesus is known to be a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And we know that tax collectors tend to be wealthy individuals due to ill-gotten gain. And that's why the words sinner and tax collector often go together in the scriptures. You can't be a tax collector without being one of those sinners. And Jesus, we're told, is a friend of such folks. In Luke chapter 18, we're told by Jesus that it's almost impossible for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And not that money is evil in and of itself, but maybe because those who have a lot of it may have a difficult time seeing beyond their wealth to the glorious riches of the kingdom. So here we have a rich tax collector who is, of course, a sinner, hated and despised by the people. Our passage says he was not just a tax collector, but he was the chief of tax collectors, meaning the chief of all sinners, according to them. He may be a little guy, but he's a super-sized sinner in everybody else's mind. The chief tax collector sat at the top of that pyramid scheme. He could charge people whatever he wanted in his jurisdiction. He was unjust, like the unjust judge, as we're looking at some of these parables in Luke. He was oppressive. The poor would have suffered the most, of course. And therefore, he certainly wouldn't have any hope of entering the kingdom of God in anyone's mind. And the whole town knew it. The whole town knew it. All the townspeople of Jericho would have written him off as pond scum, a dirty rat, that low-down, no-good crime boss, a thief, a cheat. There's no salvation for him. Now, Luke had just finished telling us a story right before this about this blind beggar who was calling out to Jesus on his way to, as Jesus was coming to Jericho, starting in chapter 18, verse 35. And the crowd kept telling him to be quiet. Shh, don't bother the master. Don't bother Jesus. But Jesus says, no, let him come to me. And he healed his blindness. He caused him to see again. And it says the people, when they saw this, they praised God for this miracle. The crowd, along with the disciples, you'll remember, also tried to keep the short, wee little children away from Jesus. There are always these obstacles in the Gospels. And once again, in our reading today, the crowd is trying to restrict the flow of grace by blocking Jesus' view of Zacchaeus, or Zacchaeus' view of Jesus. But Jesus not only helps people see physically, he helps people see spiritual reality too. But there would be no rejoicing in this crowd over the man in our story today, a man lost in his wealth and his corruption. No, instead of rejoicing, there is grumbling, there's muttering in the crowd. To accept hospitality of a tax collector would be seen as being in cahoots with the tax collector in his corruption. Being a friend of a sinner means that you too are a sinner, and that's why you avoid such people. And for Jesus, it also means being ceremonially unclean, impure as well. But Jesus takes the risk, and he chooses to love this corrupt little guy anyway. Little Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Maybe he didn't even know why he wanted to see him. Even in the darkness of his greedy heart, I'm sure he felt that emptiness, the loneliness of his spiritual condition. He was a social misfit, an outsider, a part of the uncool crowd of Jericho. Even with all of his money and all of his connections in the Roman Empire, even with the social status and authority that he had as a chief tax collector, he would always be little in the eyes of the townspeople because of his corrupt line of work and his oppression. Right? So our children's song seems to give him a lot of credit to this Zacchaeus. The song says, "For the Lord he wanted to see." But the Bible simply says in verse 3, he wanted to see who Jesus was. He wanted to see who Jesus was. He wanted to see what all of the fuss was about. Why was everybody talking about him? What is this religious curiosity coming to town? He wasn't necessarily looking for conversion that day. He wasn't looking for a Lord and Savior. Well, he wasn't even trying to get a conversation out of Jesus hiding up in a tree and all. No, he wasn't looking for a Lord in order to connect with him, at least not on a conscious level. But sometimes our actions betray what lies at the subconscious, our deep spiritual needs. Deep down, he needed Jesus. And he's even willing to look like a fool in order to just get a glimpse of him. Is there anything to this guy? Does he have anything to say about my life? Well, deep within Zacchaeus, something must have been going on spiritually. Just like that tax collector who was praying with the Pharisee in the temple that one day. The Spirit of God must have been stirring his heart. Could there be something that matters more than money? Could there be something more in the universe than just what we see and hear and what we can experience with our senses? Is there really a spiritual reality after a life after death, hope beyond work and overtime and the grave? Is joy even possible in this life with so much suffering and pain and struggle? What's all the fuss about regarding this man, Jesus? And could there be anything about him that relates to me? Sometimes the heart asks questions that the mind doesn't dare articulate. You see, nobody likes Zacchaeus. Considered the outcast, the weirdo, the number-crunching geek who makes everybody's life miserable. How did it come to all this, maybe he asked himself. How did it come to all this, just being the hated guy in town? Could there be something different? So the crowd wouldn't let him through, though, to see Jesus. So it says he ran ahead and climbs a sycamore fig tree to see him, because Jesus was coming that way. And this shows what little respect he really got in town here. The people just walked ahead and they stood in front of him. The crowd got in front of him when Jesus got to that point. And if he walked around the crowd to get to the other side, well, the crowd would just move right along and stand right in front of him again. And so he couldn't see them. Here he is, a grown man, a man of authority, a man of wealth and means, finds himself running up a fig tree. Verse 4 says he ran ahead and he climbed up a tree along the road where Jesus was coming by. And here he finds himself up in this tree like some schoolboy hiding from his teacher. And no self-respecting Jew would have seen themselves running in public and climbing up a tree and doing all this publicly. Perhaps deep down he had realized he had gained the whole world, yet lost his soul in his corruption, in his wealth, in his busyness. Whatever it is, something's literally got him chased up a tree. It'd be kind of like watching Bill Gates coming to a parade here in Big Rapids and then jumping on the top of the hood of a pickup truck to try to, you know, see somebody coming down the parade. Zacchaeus, something happened inside of him. He's in this desperate position, and maybe he didn't give a lot of thought to it. Maybe he doesn't even know why he ran up that tree, but all of a sudden, there he was that day. Maybe you don't even know why you're here this morning. I don't know why I'm in church. And maybe you too are wondering, is there more out there? Could there be something different for my life than what I'm experiencing right now? The parade was approaching. Jesus was about to step pass by. Who is this man? What has he got to do with me? Why am I even here in this tree? He wanted to see who Jesus was. An intellectual curiosity, but maybe a heart tug too. He's hiding in a tree. I imagine he also wanted to remain anonymous. He didn't necessarily want to Jesus to see him, and neither did I suspect he wanted other people to see him up there too, to see him looking like a fool. How embarrassing would it be if people saw him sitting up a tree in an undignified way, you know, wearing a tunic and all. But when Jesus reached that spot, it says in verse 5, the parade stopped. Jesus looked up and saw him and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Hurry is the word in the original. Hurry and come down. Hurry and come down. We need to talk. I want to have a relationship with you. Can you imagine? Jesus stops the parade. Everybody stops the parade. Jesus looks up into the tree. Everybody looks up into the tree. Zacchaeus turns red, gulps. Oh no, exactly what he did not want to happen. He's the center of attention now. But what does it say? How does he respond? Verse 6, he came down at once and he welcomed Jesus gladly, with joy in the original it says, a word very close to the word grace, charis. And the people grumble that Jesus would pay any attention to this chief of sinners, let alone go to his house and eat with him. They grumble over grace, the grace that Jesus has for sinners. Well, we don't know exactly what transpired in the conversation between Jesus and Zacchaeus that day, or how long they were together. But even so, one thing is obvious. Zacchaeus is a changed man after that encounter. The presence of Jesus created joy within him that caused him to welcome Jesus into his home. In fact, the kingdom of God had come to Zacchaeus, and he welcomed it with joy and with an open heart. And I think that's the point of Luke's gospel, is that we should be that way too. Welcome the kingdom of God, to welcome Jesus with open hearts and with joy. It was unlike the rich young ruler who went away a sad man because he couldn't part with his wealth. Zacchaeus had a new outlook on life, a different approach, a new understanding of the purpose of wealth, the clearer moral view of what it means to love God and love neighbor. And after the crowd's grumbling in verse 7, it says in verse 8 that Zacchaeus stood up. And maybe other people were looking in through the windows or there at the dinner, we don't know, but he stood up and he said, "Look, Lord, here I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount." His spiritual change has changed the way he does business with other people. What he believes, what he understands about God and the kingdom of God and the presence and the relationship he has with Christ has changed his life, so much so that he's living it out in his business life, in the real world. It's changed his interactions with other people. Zacchaeus made restitution with those he's cheated. He decided to care for the poor by giving away half of all he has in response to having Jesus in his life. Of course, all of this happened after Jesus came into his life, right? His life changes. That happened after Jesus came into his life. He didn't have to do these things in order to attract Jesus to him. He didn't want to attract Jesus to him. He wasn't looking to do that, but Jesus entered into his life. And Jesus didn't tell him to get his life in order first and then, hey, call me, we'll do lunch after you're perfect, after you're all together. No, Jesus came in first. Jesus says, I must come to your house today. I want to get to know you. I want to be in a relationship with you, Jesus says. Why must, though? Why must? I must come to your house today. Because this is what Jesus is all about. Seeking and saving the lost. Leading others to God. Leading people to God that others have given up on. Or have written off as pond scum. Or worthless. Or unsavable. Or whatever. This is what Jesus is all about. I must come to your house today. While Zacchaeus was hiding in his wealth, lost in his corruption and greed, scared up into a tree, Jesus comes to him and calls him by name. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. I must be with you today. The Savior calls, and little Zacchaeus responds in faith and in deeds, after which Jesus declares in verses 9 and 10, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. The Son of Man, this man of destiny, is all about looking for people lost and hiding from themselves and from others, those hiding because of their own shame and their very real guilt. He sees through the leaves we use to cover up. This kind of reminds me of Adam and Eve. Was it a fig leaf? Did it say a fig leaf? Was it a sycamore fig tree? I don't know about that connection. And then his grace and his love, even his presence, transforms and makes straight and heals, forgives and cleanses, accepts. Zacchaeus is delivered from his wealth and corruption. Salvation has come to this house today, Jesus says. God has time in his busy schedule to stop and pay attention even to this tree-sitting chief of sinners. And his life will never be the same again. He's no longer an outsider, an outcast. He too is a son of Abraham, a lost sheep of Israel, yes, but still a son of Abraham, especially in his faith that has led him to right actions in his life. Zacchaeus starts off on that road in life that requires him to take off the old self and the old practices and to put on the new self, to put on Christ, to die and rise again. Earlier in chapter 18, verse 31, Jesus pulls his disciples aside and he tells them where he's going, what's going to happen. He says, we're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about me in the prophets, about the Son of Man, will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, and flog him, and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. And then it says the disciples did not know what he's talking about, had no idea. So it's interesting that the very next story is about the blind beggar. You know, the disciples were blind in their understanding, and here they have a physical blind beggar calling out, Son of David, have mercy on me. I want to see, he tells Jesus. And the words for seeing, looking, seeking continue in our passage, our story about Zacchaeus. Jesus continues to demonstrate both the reality of the kingdom of God he's ushering in and the reality that he is the Messiah. He heals and delivers the blind beggar, giving him sight, and he delivers the lost sheep of Israel, those who are blinded by their own greed. In his Son, Jesus, God has come to search for the lost himself, just as he said he would in the prophets. What is written about the Son of Man in the prophets is being fulfilled right here. The followers of Jesus need to understand the purpose of the Son of God, not merely to be some moral example of what a good guy looks like or to show you what love is. He is that man of destiny of the Old Testament that the prophets talked about, the Messiah, the one who would suffer and die for our sins and rise again and reign forever. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus calls us lost without him. Jesus does. We're lost without him. But he searches for us. He finds us in all of our hiding places. Whether we're up in a tree hiding from him, whether it's behind our devices, whether we're down in the basement and behind the computer screen, whether we're in that store, wherever it is. He knows where to find us. Just like Jesus saw Zacchaeus, Jesus sees us. He searches for us. He sees us, and he loves us. In the middle of our busyness, in the middle of our craziness, in the middle of our sinfulness, he calls us by name and says, I want to be with you today. Hurry. Hurry. Zacchaeus was curious. A man of position. A position in the empire. A man of authority. A man of means. Finding himself up in a tree. Surrounded by fig leaves. He wasn't actively looking for salvation that day. But even so, somehow salvation found him. Jesus found him and welcomed him when he heard his name called by the Savior. Hurry and come down, Jesus said. I want to be with you today. So God has loved and treasured and saved many an imperfect person throughout history, and we see many of them in Scripture. God has a way of going after the strays and bringing them home. So maybe you're finding yourself content with your self-sufficiency today, but deep down you're wondering, is there something more? You're wondering if life could be different for you. Maybe you've been asking those questions too. What is all the fuss about over this man, Jesus, that people keep talking about? Why do I find myself in church today? Or maybe you've really messed things up somehow and you're finding yourself in a heap of trouble and asking yourself, how has it all come to this? How did it ever come to this? Maybe you've been successful for most of your life and all of a sudden you've lost your job. Or you've gone through a divorce, or someone you love has passed away. Now what? Who am I? Is there any worth? Am I of any worth outside of my job, my workplace, my identity? You've had it good most of your life, and yet still something is missing, and you know it. You've heard rumors of another world, this spiritual world, but you've never taken the time to investigate it, to wonder, to look into it, to read the Bible for yourself, to see if Jesus has anything to say to you personally. Maybe like Zacchaeus, you're scared up a tree, hiding behind the leaves of shame and guilt, and asking, how has it all come to this? Or maybe you know the strays, right? You have the family members that you've been praying for years, that they would come to believe, that they would see Jesus, that Jesus would find them. Well, the good news is that no matter where you find yourself this morning, where we find ourselves straying in life, God treasures us so much that he would send his son to suffer and die and rise again in order to bring us home. God makes time in his busy schedule to pay attention to you and to me, that we may have joy and everlasting life. He says, you don't have to hide anymore. You hear your voice called, come. You don't have to remain who you are in your corruption, in your oppressing of others, in being lost in wealth or poverty or mediocrity or whatever it is. The kingdom of God has come in Jesus Christ. He searches for us, calls us by name. So welcome it with joy. Be made new again when Jesus calls you by name. May that be so for all of us. Would you join me in prayer? God of grace and new beginnings, we come to you in prayer this morning, giving thanks for how you care for us, love us, seek us out even when we have no idea what we really need. For those of us who are lost in depression or in anxiety or in the clutches of alcohol and drugs here this morning, I pray that you would release us. Deliver us from these things that we may once again experience joy and abundant life that you offer in your Son, Jesus. For those of us who are still searching for something more or something else in life, grant us a clear understanding of our spiritual need and hunger that we may see you coming to us through your Son, that we may clearly hear you calling our name. We thank you and praise you for your grace and the hope that we have found in you. So now as we would leave this place, may we share in the fellowship of believers and go out to be servants and proclaimers of your great love and transformative power. For it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.